Shabbat Shalom. And our Torah reading today is going to be 2 Samuel, the 15th chapter. 2 Samuel 15. And it happened afterward that Absalom prepared a chariot for himself and horses and 50 men running before him. And Absalom rose up and stood by the side of the way of the gate. And it happened that every man who had a cause to come to the king for judgment, Absalom called on him and said, "Oh, what city are you?" And he said, "Your servant is from one of the tribes of Israel." And Absalom said to him, "Behold, your matters are good and right, and there is no listener to you from the king." And Absalom said, "Who shall make me a judge in the land, that every man who has a dispute, I will then declare him right even with justice?" And it happened when a man drew near to bow himself to him, he put out his hand and laid hold on him and gave him a kiss. And Absalom acted this way to all Israel who came to the king for judgment. And Absalom stole the heart of the men of Israel. And at the end of 40 years, which is a mistake, it should be 4 years, it happened, Absalom said to the king, "Please let me go, and I shall pay my vow that I have vowed to Yahweh in Hebron. For your servant has vowed a vow when I lived in Geshur in Syria," which is Bethsaida, "saying, 'If Yahweh shall bring me back to Jerusalem, then I shall serve Yahweh.'" And the king said to him, "Go in peace," and he rose up and went to Hebron. And Absalom sent spies among the tribes of Israel, saying, "When you hear the sound of the ram's horn, then you shall say, 'Absalom is king in Hebron.'" And 200 men went out of Jerusalem, with Absalom invited ones. And they went out in their simplicity and did not know anything. And Absalom sent Ahithophel, a Gilonite, a counselor of David, out of the city, out of Gilo, as he offered the sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, and the people were going on and increasing with Absalom. And a messenger came to David, saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel have gone after Absalom." And David said to all his servants who were with him in Jerusalem, "Rise up, and we will flee, for we have to escape from the face of Absalom. Hurry to leave, that he not overtake us and bring evil down on us and strike the city with the edge of the sword." And the king's servant said to the king, "According to all that my master the king desires, behold, your servant will do." And the king went out and all his household at his feet, and the king left 10 women concubines to keep the house. And the king went out and all the people at his feet, and they stood still at the house farthest away. And all his servants were passing on by his side, and all the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the Gittites, 600 men who came at his feet from Gath. These were passing on before the king. And the king said to Ittai the Gittite, "Why do you go, even you with us? Turn back and remain with the king, for you are an alien and also you are an exile. Go to your place. You came in yesterday and today. Should I make you roam with us to go while I go? Turn back and turn your brothers to go with you in kindness and truth." And Ittai replied to the king and said, "As Yahweh lives, as my master the king lives, surely in the place where my master the king is, there your servant shall be, whether for death or for life." And David said to Ittai, "Go on and pass over." And Ittai the Gittai passed over, and all his men and all the little ones with him. And all the land was weeping with a loud voice, and all the people were passing over, and the king was passing over through the torrent Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And behold, Zadok also came, and the Levites with him, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of Elohim. And they set the Ark of Elohim down, and Abiathar went up until all the people finished passing out on the city. And the king said to Zadok, "Take the Ark of Elohim back to the city. If I find grace in the eyes of Yahweh, then he will bring me back and make me see it and his dwelling place. And if he says this, 'I have not delighted in you,' behold, I am here, he shall do to me as seems good in his eyes." And the king said to Zadok the priest, "Are you a seer? Return to the city in peace and your two sons with you, your son Ahimaaz and Yonatan, the son of Abiathar. Behold, I will wait in the plain of the wilderness until word comes from you to report to me." And Zadok and Abiathar took the Ark of Elohim back to Jerusalem, and they remained there. And David was going up in the ascent of the Olives, going up and weeping. And his head was covered, and he was going barefooted. And all the people who were with him, each had covered his head and had gone up, going up and weeping. And one told David, saying, "Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom." And David said, "O Yahweh, I pray you, make the counsel of Ahithophel foolish." And it happened as David had come to the top, there where he bowed to Elohim. And behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him, his tunic torn and earth on his head. And David said to him, "If you pass on with me, then you will be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and shall say to Absalom, 'I also will be your servant, O king. I was servant of your father before you, and now I am also your servant,' then you can break down the counsel of Ahithophel for me. And do you not have there with you Zadok and Abiathar the priest? And it shall be, you shall declare everything that you will hear from the house of the king. you shall report to Zadok and Abiathar the priests, behold, there are with them their two sons, Ahimaaz to Zadok and Jonathan to Abiathar. And you shall send to me by their hand everything that you hear. And David's friend Hushai came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. So the message I'm going to give today is called, Are You Loyal? And I thought this would be a good place to start. Because really, like I said, when you're just reading it as history, you know, you read Samuel, and then you read Kings, and you read Chronicles, and it's great history. It's history of Israel. I love the books because they really, the Torah tells us Yahweh's law, it tells Yahweh's will, and we fulfill it. But this really tells the history of everything. But when you look at this story, to me, it's one of the saddest stories in the Bible. And here is King David, you know, the person who was a man after Yahweh's own heart, will be third in the kingdom after Yahweh and Yeshua. You know, we know that from Ezekiel 36 and Ezekiel 37. And was the king of Israel. Now, of course, at first, we know everything that happened with Saul, and Saul went after him. But when David was made king, everybody knew that Yahweh had set him. There, you had the prophets, you had Nathan, and you had Samuel, and there was no doubt in anybody's mind that David wasn't like Saul. He wasn't a renegade, but was a man after Yahweh's own heart. And the fact that David, you could say in one sense, brought this on himself, you know, he was not very good with child rearing. He caused this to happen, because what happens right before this that we know, it was the problem that happened with Aman when he raped the other daughter of David, Absalom's sister. And then what happens, instead of David dealing with it, he doesn't. And then Absalom winds up killing Aman, and then Absalom flees. And it's just a real bad situation. Really bad child rearing, really David not taking responsibility for his family as he should. And then, of course, the other situation that comes up with Bathsheba, you know, and Uriah the Hittite, and then David even winds up having Uriah kill the person who's totally loyal to him. So this is really the low point of David's life, you know. But we also see the redemption part. We see that really David, and this is why he acts the way he did. Usually you see David, the warrior, and ready to fight. And even, we're not reading it here in the next chapter, when David's passing and Shammai is throwing rocks at him, you know, and the sons of Zerulah want to cut his head off. And what does David say? Hey, maybe Yahweh's allowing this. Because he's realizing, you know, that he did things that he shouldn't have done. He's realizing that he did things that he felt. But at the same rate, you know, this isn't Joab who's coming against him. This isn't another king. This is his son. This is Absalom. You know, the very son that came out of his loins, who's making rebellion against him. So it's a really, really sad situation. And then it shows, you know, when you look at it, where is the loyalty of these people? You know, these guys like this Ahithophel. You know, he's the counselor of David. He's one of the top men in there. And here it is. He sees an opportunity. He thinks they're weighing these opportunities. They're not saying who's righteous and who is Yahweh's servant. They're saying who's going to win here. And they want to be on the winning side, you know. And without loyalty, where are you left with? This I'll get into when we get into the message. But who's the one that's loyal here? You know, as we see, it's Ittai, the Gittite. He's not even an Israelite. And David is saying, you're not even part of us. What are you doing? And he's saying, no, you're my friend. You know, I'm going to come with you. And I think the only thing that made David survive this was that he had people that were loyal to him. You know, and as you go through the Bible, you see it through the kings all the way through. You know, the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. That if there wasn't a person who was righteous and had loyalty of people, he was done. You know, I mean, even the one queen that Israel had, Athaliah, you know, they conspirated against her because it was evil what she did and she killed. But you see, when you get to the kingship, like with King Herod, these kings are trying to kill anybody who's a threat to them. And how can you have loyalty towards somebody who's only there in a power? You look at people in the world today, Saddam Hussein, you know, and Gaddafi from Libya. These people didn't have loyalty. They had people who feared them. And the question that always comes up, would you rather be more loved or more feared? And the answer usually is more loved, because people will be loyal more to you out of love than anything else. But people like this, people that Yahweh puts in a high position, and he gives them this position, and the traitor isn't against David. The traitor is against who? It's against Yahweh. These people are useless. They're useless to Yahweh. You know, they're absolutely useless to him. Because in the kingdom, when we look at it, you're just not going to have this kind of people. And I'll get into that as we get into the message. But I thought it's a good place to start because it really gives a good overall view of really what Yahweh expects of us, you know, as his people. Like I said, we see that, you know, interesting enough, as we see in the Bible, even when Yeshua is rebuking Israel for their unfaithfulness, you know, he brings examples of who? He brings examples of the Queen of Sheba. He brings examples of Nahum the Syrian. He says, these people that were more righteous than you, and they wanted to kill Yeshua when he said these kind of things. But unfortunately, the Israelites weren't always as righteous as they could have been. So, a really sad story. It doesn't get any better after this, except for the fact that the good part of it is David's repentance. The good part of it is his friendships that come out of this. But really, it's a sad story. Because here it is, even David's loyalties are kind of unbalanced, you know, because he's telling them here, Absalom doesn't care if he kills David. He wants to kill David, and he wants to kill all of the people that are loyal to David. And what does David say to his men? Be careful for the boy Absalom, you know. So, and then when Absalom winds up being killed by Joab, who I believe did the right thing, no matter what David said, because Absalom was a traitor, and once that's a character trait, and once you have that, you'll never go back. What happens to David? David comes, and he, instead of being happy for the loyalty of the people that were close to him, he's crying over Absalom. And Joab saves his neck again. He comes and says, you know, you'd be much happier if we were all dead and he was alive. You don't know who your friends are that love you, and you don't know who your enemies are that hate you. But he said, I'll tell you this much. You get your clothes on, you go out, and you sit in that chair as the king, or by the morning nobody will be with you, and the end will be worse than the beginning. And I think David woke up. But I think, of course, Absalom was his son, and I think David was mourning because he was his son. But I think David was mourning more because he realized he caused the situation. If David would have dealt with this in the beginning, when he should have, and instead of taking the easy road and just letting it go, you would have never had this happen. It would have never came to that. Because Absalom wouldn't have rebelled against him if he would have taken care of the situation from Amon, and you wouldn't have had this happen here. So I will stop there for now. I will open the floor, and then we will continue with the sermon after this.